So I run my own business writing free software. I like to call it automating boring business problems. So I like to make people's lives more fun by getting computers to do the bits that shouldn't really be done by a human. Things like data entering forms and anything that involves spreadsheets tends to be very painful and a good reason for someone to not like their job. So I like solving those kind of problems and making lots of things happen with very little effort, and then people can get on with their more interesting problems. So maybe that's why I have an interest in accounting as well. But obviously one of the things about running your own business is you have to provide a certain few bits of key information to the tax office. Obviously things like how much, if you're running a business, how much income you have, what your expenses are, and then GST if you collect that sort of stuff. So I guess being a free software person, there'd be lots of easy options for this if I didn't know anything about free software, and my accountant would probably have lots of opinions about what I should use. But being a free software person, I also use 100% free software. As well as writing it, I use 100% free software in my business and my personal life. So because that's important to me. So I'm willing to make an extra effort to actually find a solution that solves the problem that my business has, but also is fully free. So I have had to go to a bit more effort and read a bit more and learn a bit more probably than if I just picked up what other people use off the shelf. But that's kind of part of it, I guess. So maybe I'll show you first what I do. So the thing that motivated me to talk about this was that it's tax time, really. And this year I'm incredibly organized, and I'm not ever this organized. It's only because I've it's only circumstance that I'm this organized. So what I'd really like to show you is this tool that I've got to use. It's called Ledger, and it just sort of fits with my it fits with the sort of type of computer user I am, I guess. Because I'm a software developer, the sort of interface works really nicely for me. So I'll show you how that works. So for example, so I need to go to my accountant and I need to tell them these bits of key information. So what I type in is I go ledger balance income, and ledger tells me these numbers are completely fictitious, but it tells me that I have my income is $28,148.55, and that's split up into $28,148.47 of consulting work and 8 cents of interest from something. That's not terribly useful as it is like that. So maybe we'll go, so Ledger is the name of this program. It's a command line program. It doesn't actually do anything. Like, it doesn't change anything. It reports. You give it your financial information in a standard form, and it'll produce these really, really quite clever reports out of it very quickly and with lots of flexibility. So, for example, I've keyed in my information so that I've got things are categorized as income and consulting and interest and stuff like that. So. So Ledger's giving me a balance there. That's everything all summed up together. But for more information, I could say Ledger register income, and it'll actually tell me, it'll give me a listing of all the transactions that I've put in there. And it says, these are some people that I got consulting income from. And it shows me that, this one I got $4,307.89. And then it gives me a running total down the bottom, down the right hand side. And, for example, what I'd actually do if I was going to my accountant, I'd say ledger register income, not interest, because bank interest comes separately on there. tax package, so I'd say that, and then I get the thing without interest. So,
why is all the income negative?
Well, that's an artifact of the way you do accounting, in a way. I'll talk a little bit about double entry accounting in a second.
Oh, okay.
Just to, So, the other major report that you would do if you're going to your accountant would be an expense report. Expenses. And that'll give me a listing, an itemized sort of listing of all the categories that I've allocated expenses to. Because that these categories are categories that are kind of relevant to accountants, like for tax purposes, like wages and travel and postage. Like they're most important to me, but I've sort of have also adjusted them a little bit so that they work well for my accountant as well. This is a fictitious period of time. Yeah, you can query it by a period. Yeah, so one option is you can actually either change the input file to be only, you can chop up your input file so it's only this tax year, and then you archive that one and start a new one, or you can actually give it, you can say, I think it's start date, start, and then you give it a date, and then end and a date. So I just want to show you the sort of interface to it without showing you how it how I get the data into it first, just to show you quite how lightweight it is, because I haven't actually started up a graphical interface here or do anything. I can just go ledger bell or balance, and it'll give me the balance of all my things without starting up a graphical interface at all. I can just do that, and it gives me it all really quickly, and it'll tell me if I've made any obvious mistakes, and you know, I've tried to, you know, do a transaction that doesn't actually work or stuff like that. And the other one that I have to do, because I'm registered for GST, I have to do GST tracking. So this is really one of the most valuable things, is because I have to know how much GST I owe the government. And if that gets out of control, then I'd really like to know sooner rather than later, so that, you know, so that I'm not, for my cash flow purposes, so that I know that I have, in this case, $8,700 of GST that I owe to the government. So, in case, just to understand how that works, on the prices that I charge people for my consulting work, I add 10%, which is what I have to do because I'm registered for GST. But then if I buy a book from a book shop, that has 10% on it. So I can take the 10% that I charge people and the 10% on the book, and the difference of those is what I pay the government. So I get the 10% from some people, and I pay the 10% to other people, and then the difference is what I pay the government. That's what I owe them. So I can claim back the difference.
It's not so simple, because some stuff is non-GST-able.
Well, yeah, yeah. I think probably GST has been an enormous boon to accountants. It makes problems very, you know, it makes software really quite, I mean, that's the other aspect of my interest in accounting is that I do a lot of work with organizations who take money, and it's really, once you get to a certain level of selling stuff, if things don't feed in beautifully to the accounting systems and processes, and they don't all balance out and you get weird errors, you can't afford to handle every single transaction manually. So I've had a lot of sort of exposure to accountants, and that's been kind of satisfying over time too, because it starts off quite angry, like, why does this 1 cent, where's this 1 cent coming from, you know, because it doesn't balance up. And eventually, over time, the systems get improved, and you get this really nice system where errors populate, you know, errors come out of the woodwork very quickly if something goes wrong. So So I take that information, basically I chop that up into a little text file, and I print it out and I take it to my accountant, and I circle the bits that we go through, and we say, yep. And there's obviously a little bit more to do, but that's kind of what I want tax time to be like. I want to be able to just take that information that I have in this system that I've been maintaining all year carefully, and I can take it to my accountant. And that's one of the key benefits of having all your stuff in the system like Ledger. So, and beyond that, the other main benefit of having stuff in the system is it can sort of tell you things about your business that you wouldn't otherwise have been aware of, like how much you spent on domain names that you've bought, or telephone costs, stuff you can't really, you might have a feel for, you know, I think my telephone bills were more this year than last year or something, but this system can actually tell you very easily how much your telephone bills added up to and all that sort of stuff. And, if you're making more money than your costs and stuff like that, so you can find out if you're winning or losing sort of in terms of business. So that's really why people run an accounting system, but tax really is one of the major reasons that I try and keep this up to date. You could, I mean, yeah, so this, I mean, you could sit down the week before you went to your accountant with a cardboard box full of receipts for the whole year and try and dredge it all up from your inbox and get a spreadsheet and do all that. And you could certainly do the same thing with that. But this kind of having it in a system is just really like an entirely different world of less stress. Like you suddenly have this, it's only a small problem to get organized to go to the accountant at the end of the year, rather than being this horribly stressful, painful experience. So that's one reason to do it like this. So I'll tell you a little bit about Ledger. I started out doing my small business accounting in a spreadsheet years ago, and I had a spend a little bit of time using GNU Cash, and that was fine. I can't remember exactly why I switched, but I tried Ledger and it just really worked for me as a tool for a few reasons. The nice thing is that I'll show you my. Very small text. The nice thing is that it doesn't impose a whole lot of jargon on you. I find like graphical tools, you have to absorb a whole lot of knowledge before you can actually figure out how to use the tool to do the task that you want to do. But if you can see, if you have a tool that gives you, that puts you much closer to the information, you kind of have less things to learn to actually pull out the information that you want. So Ledger's actually really simple. I'll just run you through how it works. So I run Emacs. This program that we're looking at now is Emacs. It's my text editor that I use for editing programs and text files and all this sort of stuff in my day-to-day things. And all that Ledger is, all Ledger's register is a text file that's specially formatted with some dates and categories and stuff like that. So ignore that first line, that's just so that Emacs knows how to treat it. And all it is, you know, a date. This is just plain text. Emacs has actually got a special mode that recognizes the Ledger formats and gives you some extra tools for that. But it's just a date, the payee, that's not a very good one to look at. Let's look at that one. The payee. And then really all you're doing is, now this is where I talk about double entry accounting. So, I really need a whiteboard probably.
That's this one here.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Let me,
just in front of you, the desk.
Oh yeah. I'll try and keep this really quick because I don't think anyone really needs to know. All one. So the whole premise of double entry accounting is, unlike where you just put your numbers in a spreadsheet and sum them up at the bottom to say, you know, this is expenses for when I went to the post office and stuff like that, and this is printing and this is furniture or bills or whatever. Instead of just sort of putting them in a spreadsheet, all you're doing is kind of moving them around between fictional accounts in a, you could pretend it was like a bank account sort of system, and everything has its own account, and you can make up the names of the accounts to be whatever you want. So the idea is that if I draw a box around this whole thing,
bad choice of pen.
Yeah,
it is a bad choice.
So, I don't know if you did like electronics in high school physics or whatever, all that sort of stuff. The idea is that nothing comes into the system and nothing leaves the system. It's always, the whole thing always sums to the same value. And you could say it's zero. So like, the amount of money in the system is always zero, and you're just moving it around between fictitious accounts. So basically, I have an account that I use to model my bank account, and I have an account that I use to model my, you can just call them categories, that I use to model my, we call it printing. That's what they cost, the expenses that I'll put EX at the front here, expenses printing. So when I go to the print shop and I pay for something, the way I model that in my accounting system is that I take some money from my bank account because I paid for it with my credit card, and I put it into the printing account. So now, say if it cost me $10, the printing, my bank account is negative $10, and my printing account is $10. And that's double entry accounting. That's how you do it. There's no more to it than that, really.
It's all double entry because there's always at least two entries, two amounts for each.
So one entry negative 10 for the bank and one entry plus 10 for the printing. The only slight trickiness is that when you've got GST, you get a third account in the mix. So let's change this one. And so this account represents the GST that I owe the government. So instead of my printing costing $10, let's call it cost $11 because the numbers work out nicely. So how did I actually make this transaction? I took $11 out of my bank account. So the bank is negative 11. Negative 11. And in my accounting system, I need to model that one of those dollars went to, 10 of those dollars went to printing. So that was a cost of my business, which was printing. And one of those dollars went to GST. So the GST account gets a $1 and the printing account gets a $10. So all we've done is basically taken this and split it into this. And these will still add up to zero. So negative 11 plus 1 plus 10 is zero. All up. So that's double entry accounting, and that's the bit that is the least interesting of this presentation.
So the negative is the income. How does that in your...
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry.
Same thing.
So it's kind of the same thing except backwards. So we just change the labels. So the labels can be whatever you want. In my case, it was consulting, and I was moving money to the. This one's still bank account, and now we call this one income. Consulting, and I've still got a GST account, so I could have just literally labeled that one. So in this one, it's just the numbers are a little bit different. So what happens? The bank account gets, I get money coming into the bank account. So say I'm paid $110. I get $110 going into the bank account, so the bank account gets positive $110. And where did that money come from? It has to come from somewhere in my accounting model. So $100 of it came from consulting, so that becomes negative $100. And because GST is 10%, 10% of that came from GST, so that's negative 10. So that's why my income is negative. It's just an artifact of how we model it. You could model it.
It's got to be negative so that your bank can go positive.
That's right. So the negative sign doesn't actually mean anything. It's just how you do it. And there is no difference between income and expenses. One's just positive and one's, you just tend to take, you put money into an income account and you tend to take money out of an expense account. Sorry, the other way around. You know what I mean? They're just accounting labels for...
Yeah. Thank you.
So, can you roll stuff with this software package? Can you roll stuff up to a general ledger? Like, or not?
Can I roll stuff up to a general ledger?
You know, because in a way, these are all like sub-ledgers, aren't they?
Yes. So you can do pretty much whatever you want. So,
oh, I like that.
Yeah. So you can name the categories to be whatever you want. I don't have to call it income, and I don't have to call it expenses, and I don't have to call it printing, and I don't have to call it GST. But that's kind of handy if I want someone else to go look at it.
I guess my question is, can you roll stuff up?
Yeah. Right? Yep. So I've said. So you saw me do. So let's, expenses was more interesting. So I did a query on expenses there. Sorry, I'll do balance. I could have equally gone expenses books and it would have given me just the books subcategory. Is that sort of what you're asking about?
Yeah.
I guess the flip of that is, can you just see a single number for expenses without all the subcategories? But it shows the total.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure you can.
I think there's a... There would definitely be a way, but it does give you a total down there, so you can... Down the bottom.
Stop, also the first stop at a maximum depth of your hierarchy and just to summarise.
Yeah. I'm sure there would be a way, I don't know off the top of my head, how you block those, the subcategories from coming up. But yeah, so I get to decide what those categories are, and I've sort of fiddled with them over time, and then I can just arbitrarily do whatever I want with them. So normally, so for example, this is my bank. I'll try not to focus too much on this because I realise it's sort of a detail of it that rather than probably the interesting bit about free software. But I really like it because I can just type this stuff into my Emacs and I get, you know, some tab completion and all this sort of stuff because Emacs has a special mode. So here, for example, for Internode, which is very hard to read in pink, isn't it? So that's saying that $96.60 came out of my bank account and some of it went to telephone and internet and some of it went to GST. That's just one of those hard, well, those tricky GST transactions. So then really all ledger does is read through this whole file really quickly, add it all up and give me some interesting facts about it depending on what I ask, which exactly, yeah, there's no database, it's plain text. And the thing I really like about that is that my accounting can then be just committed to version control like any other file that I work on for work or personal things. I just like to keep them in text-based version control. Because then I can see what I changed recently. It's really obvious to me if I've accidentally modified something. I can watch, you know, because if there's anything you want to know if you've accidentally changed, it's your accounting thing. Like, you don't want to go, oh, whoops, I changed something. I'm not sure what I changed. And how do I get it back? But I can look at this and go, yeah, that's great. I made a typo there and I can fix it. And now I've fixed it and I've committed the change. And the other thing that solves... it is in Bazaar, I think, yes.
So you can actually...
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And the other good thing that having a distributed version control system on this means is that I can... It solves that problem of me having my accounting system on my laptop, but it's not on my desktop where I'm working today, and there's a database file, but it's out of sync, and that's a hard problem.
So
but
we if already know how to sync. Got tools.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
How to synchronize tools.
Yeah. So a tool that's not Ledger handles all that stuff. I can just sync between my things, and I don't have to have some centralized accounting software on a virtual machine on the internet somewhere. It's just a text file, and that's really quite beautiful.
The presentation that Adam Bolt gave a few months ago about password managers, free software password managers. One of them was a thing called Password Store, which has a similar philosophy where the only thing it does is combine a bunch of existing tools together for keeping your passwords in plain text files, encrypting them, putting them in a version control repository, and every single one of those steps is just using an existing tool that we already know how to deal with. So anything that already works with those tools, you've already got the power of those with your password manager. The same with Ledger. All the stuff that you've got to deal with text files is available to you for your accounting, for your books.
Yeah. And there's some nice little features in this, so that, like, for example, in this example where I've typed, if I'm typing something in, the less information I have to type, the better. So, for example, I mean, it does tab completion in Emacs, so I can go teach, and it'll just complete various things, which is lovely. One other really useful benefit is you don't actually have to enter all the lines. So, like, as the numbers have to add to zero for each of these transactions, so you can actually just leave one out, and it'll handle it. It'll go, well, that's that one minus that one must be this number, which is great if you're typing something in manually.
So you could leave all your GSTs off, and it could calculate them, or you're assuming you've got the other half right.
That's right. Yeah. The reason these ones all have them in is because I've automatically imported them from my bank account, and which is the more interesting free software aspect, which I'll tell you in a second.
So now you're in the Ledger program itself, not just Emacs.
Right now I'm in Emacs. Emacs has a special mode that understands what a Ledger text file should look like, and it'll just give me some extra tab completions and some coloring. It doesn't actually do anything at all.
So another way to answer that is that Ledger is only the program that extracts information. The
legend
only knows how to read that
file. The
entry is Emacs.
Yep.
Someone has actually written a program in Emacs to modify Ledger files. So in a way, he's using a different program.
So there were some other
files were not referenced on the Ledger command line that you used today to find in a configuration file.
Yeah, that's right. I've set a standard place that I keep my Ledger files, and it'll go and find them when I type Ledger.
Could you, like you were saying before, you can split up your thing. Like last year's, I cut it off, go store it somewhere else.
Yep.
I can then point Ledger at that, and it'll.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's entirely flexible, really. Like the interesting thing that the, what does that say? Five. All right. the philosophy sort of the developer John Weigley is that he doesn't want to be too opinionated about how you run your system, and it's really he thinks. What he says in the documentation, which is actually really nice, is it's really just whatever works to help you keep your system up to date, because that's the most important thing about accounting, is that you actually do it regularly, because otherwise it's not very useful. So you can split into multiple files if you want. You can keep it all in one enormous file, and it's so fast that you won't even notice. So that's really nice.
It loads all the files on the fly, when you want to copy
the
command. It's reloading and
parsing the whole file. Yep. It's just super fast. It's written in C, and it just flies. Like, it makes sure everything balances. That's right. Yep.
Other implementations of Ledger in different languages too.
It's more. It's more a protocol. A protocol for understanding this text file and extracting data from it.
Yeah. So the elephant in the room here is, how do you actually get information into your ledger, like into your accounting system? And that's the biggest problem with accounting systems. Like, you have to get the information into it, and it's really boring. Who wants to sit there and type in their receipts into the thing? But if you've got a cash receipt that you've taken, you know, when you've bought something with cash or something like that, that's your only option. You have to data enter it into the system somehow. And I find that this, at least having this Emacs interface, makes it reasonably quick for me to do that. And perhaps I can talk a little bit about the other aspect of getting data in. So Ledger doesn't have any magic ways to get data in. It has to come in through that text file. So I sort of, and like for a year or so, I did my accounting just by typing everything in, and that's fine because I don't have that many lines in my, you know, I don't sell retail, so I don't have like hundreds of sales a day or anything. And it's a pain, but it's perfectly doable for me, for the way my business runs. But I sort of sometimes get these pangs of how to, you know, I wonder if I'm really missing anything. What do people in the proprietary world do to solve these problems? And it, as you probably, you might have come across a bit of software called Xero, which is currently the cool thing that accountants recommend. It's a...
XEO.
Yeah, it's a software as a service tool put out by one of the, I think it was either Myob or Quicken. I think it might have been Myob. Their next bit of software is this software as a service thing where you get an account and you put all your information into this hosted accounting package and your accountant can get access to it and you can get access to it and it can do all lots of interesting things. So I thought, well, let's see what I'm missing out on. So I registered for the trial version of this and had a little click around just to see. And I thought, oh, there'll be some magic, you know, it'll do really clever, it'll learn what, you know, your, because I knew that it can connect to your bank account and pull stuff down. And I thought, oh, it'll be really clever about how it does it and all this sort of stuff. But it's not really. All it does is you have to define these patterns, and if the text on the bank account matches this pattern, then it allocates to this category. There's nothing learning about it. It happens based on these text rules that you have to put in. And that's the way, over time, you build up a few of these text rules because you get the same transactions every month, and then it starts to do things automatically and you don't have to touch it. So I was like, yeah, well, look, I can see the benefit. But you know that we can easily do that in free software too. The one thing that annoyed me a little bit about Xero was that they have, because they're big enough now, they have, you know, I would guess that they would be, you know, enormous in the accounting world. They've got enough clout to force the banks to give them automatic data feeds from their systems. Whereas, for example, if I go to my bank account. So this is my bank, is Victorian Teachers Mutual Bank. The way you log into this is you type your member number, and then on this keyboard, this simulated keyboard, you click, and then for high security, the keyboard moves every time you click.
The keys to have actually changed
no,
the position.
But it's clearly high security. They've put a lot of thought into that feature. But so that means, I mean, I as a software developer, I can write a program that'll log into my bank account web interface and pull down the text file of the bank account entries. But stuff like that just makes it hard for me. And they don't have a data connection that I can connect to get that data without a lot of extra work. And it annoys me that this company Xero is big enough that it has that privileged access to bank accounts, that they can pull that information down, and I can't without signing this, without doing it through Xero and signing this restrictive license thing that says if you use this bank feed, you must not, you know, blah 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 blah.
I don't know about your bank, but I thought all of them had at least CVS files.
They do, yes. So what Xero does is every time you log in, it's pulled down in the background, it's pulled down what's happened lately in your bank account, and it's displaying it up the top and saying, you've got these transactions that I can't automatically match to an account. Tell me what they are, please. But I can't do that. I have to actually go in, I have to log in manually to my web interface, download the CSV file, and then I've been working on a little program that'll interpret that CSV file and allocate it to my ledger accounts, which is fine, but it's just a little bit more work. It doesn't happen without me.
Oh,
I have to be on the ball, proactive to actually do this stuff and keep my accounting up to date.
Oh, okay. You want it fully automated. Oh.
Well, why should proprietary software users have all these cool features that we don't have? Like,
that's true.
Yeah.
Isn't there a program, Scully, I think it is, that it could probably script a way to automatically...
Yeah, definitely. So at PyCon a couple of years ago, I started working on a little program with Tim Ansell. He's doing a project called Tim's Finance and providing APIs to various bank systems. And one of the things I was working on was a Selenium script that'll actually go in and click the keys on this moving keyboard. using JavaScript and log in. And that actually, that worked, and I need to go back and, when I get time, I need to go back and dust off that code and incorporate it into my workflow here, which would be quite nice. So it's certainly possible, because we did actually do it at the time.
Yeah, it's so stupid they have to do that as a worker.
Yeah, totally. When they have a real bank feed to my, yeah. So I'll just, we've got 15 minutes till the actual hard cutoff of when we finish, but I'll, so I'll just try and wrap
is
up.
Is there any kind of GUI on top of it?
For Ledger?
Anybody, yeah.
So Ledger itself, there is no GUI at all. That's plain text. And it actually, so as it is, it works, I would call it a beautiful piece of software in the way that it's super fast. It's got a really concentrated sort of surface area where I know I can read the instructions and I can easily tweak it to do what I want. And I don't have to fight through menus and reports and different click around things. I can actually make it work to my, yeah. So it's beautiful in my eyes for that sort of thing. But it doesn't have, out of the box, it doesn't have an interface that my accountant would probably like. So there's lots of projects that add a web interface to Ledger. There's Hledger that you mentioned, Ben and Brian, was it?
No, that's simply another command line program. It's just another implementation of the command line
interface. Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, yeah. But there's Ledger web interfaces that you can use for that sort of stuff.
You can probably export that or import it reasonably easily into GNU Cache, I imagine.
Yeah, there was some GNU Cache integration previously, but I don't know if it came through in the latest
export
version.
Export from GNU Cache, you can't get that the other way.
Yeah.
Does Ledger know how to produce, for example, the CSV or some other tabulator?
It does, yeah. So you can easily get your data out if you want to get it out into something else. Yeah. So I'll just show you quickly what my solution to the... you don't really need to... Just to show that I have done it, not that you don't need to understand how I've done it. This is a little Python program that I've written that actually just takes the CSV file that I've downloaded from my bank and creates transaction blocks based on known entries. And these are all hard coded in because it's I'm the only one using these pieces of software, so damn it, I'm going to hard code the rules into the program. So, for example, here it says, if the line starts with the word internode, then the payee is internode, and it has GST, and I allocate that to my expenses telephone and internet account. And this is just a whole lot of rules that allocates these things for different accounts. And I've got a couple of special ones that look at
that's got to be better than zero, being able to use real regexes, though, I imagine.
Oh, totally. Well, I mean, imagine how big the user interface has to be for someone to compose a complex rule like that. Like, there's boxes all over the place. It's actually like they put a lot of work into it. But I just love not having to fight the GUI to actually just do exactly what I want. I can just, yeah.
To repeatedly do exactly what you want. To focus a particular task and then be able to do it arbitrarily.
Yeah, yeah. And I certainly wouldn't say that this approach is the right approach for a lot of people because, I mean, specifically for example, this group, we don't target it as a technical user group. I just happen to be a technical user, so I have the abilities to go and write a little program that'll interpret my bank account like this. So I think there's still lots of things that, you know, this stuff needs to be possible by normal people without using Xero. And that's an unsolved problem at the moment, I think. So I guess my future work on this is to get the bank feeds working, whoever is asking about that, automatically. So log in with Selenium to my bank. And I'm also starting to, as you get more people that, you know, owe you money but haven't paid it to you yet, there's a different approach you can use to tracking income, which is called accounts receivable and accounts
payable,
where you put them into your accounting system before they've paid rather than when they actually pay. And I'm going to start using that because it makes it, it just makes it easy to, having it all in one system makes it easy to keep track of who owes me money in some ways and hasn't paid their bills, which I haven't been as good, as a small business owner, there's sometimes problems that have more, that catch your attention more than chasing people for the money they haven't paid you yet.
Except that the ATO, you're turning over less than $1 million, which I don't know.
Yeah, not quite up to $1 million
like,
yet.
You're meant to use actuals, so that's your...
Oh, do you have to actually use actuals?
You have to, yeah.
You have to report actuals on your tax. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Can Ledger actually say, you call the invoice, then I'll just send it.
Ledger can do whatever you want. It just means that all I would do is in my...
Ledger doesn't know what accounts receivable or accounts payable means.
I would just put an entry, say if Ben Finney owed me money, I'd put Ben Finney, and I'd say, these accounts spring into existence as you use them. So, if I want to create a special one right now, I can say accounts receivable, and that is, I haven't actually implemented this in my business yet. So this is the first time. So I'd say he owes me $10 and that came from income. Sorry. Income is negative. Accounts receivable is 10. Yeah. So income, I don't know what the income is, maybe Ben's something. Services rendered. Yeah, anyway, typing typos, but and that would be, then Ledger would figure out that I got money from income and it's currently sitting in accounts receivable. To be honest, I'm not sure if I've got that right, because I haven't thought. It's not something I've thought through yet. That's just one of my future plans, is to do accounts receivable in Ledger. Cool. So I think that's about all I have to say. The GNU cache. One of the reasons that I really like Ledger now, looking back on it compared to GNU cache, is that I spent a lot of time learning how to do things in GNU cache. And maybe it's because I knew less about accounting then, but the things like I bought a GNU cache book because I thought I saw someone had published this GNU cache book, and apart from supporting people who are supporting free software, I kind of thought, well, that must be a really interesting book, and I bought it, and the book is how to use the user interface for GNU cache. Whereas because Ledger is much closer to the action, the documentation for Ledger actually tells you some really interesting things about accounting, and it gives you some concepts and just things that I'd never really understood, like how you do it. Talks about how you do accounts receivable and how you do it if reimbursable expenses and different currencies and all this sort of stuff, and it talks about all these concepts that you really want to know about, but you could never before get to through all the difficult user interface stuff.
1.1 free accounting.
Yeah, so that's what they call it, fat-free accounting.
Ben, when were you looking at the attachment for
GNU cache? This book I bought maybe 2 years ago, I guess, this physical paper book on GNU cache. It's probably got a lot better.
The online documentation that comes with GNU cache?
Yep. Yeah. It definitely does. What I meant was the interface, I don't know. I was just disappointed by this book, to be honest, because I really wanted to know. Yeah.
How do I do my accounts? How do I use this program?
It actually doesn't even care about currency as well. Like, you can actually just type USD after a thing, and it can be whatever currency you want. It could be like Monopoly money or sultanas or whatever you track your wealth in. And Ledger you can provide Ledger with some conversion rules. In it, like a price database, like you can say on the 1st of 2015, 10 sultanas was worth $1, and you can go, and it'll just dynamically convert all the prices for you if you ask it to. But it'll only do it if you ask it to. How do you install?
apt-get
install Ledger. I'm running the version 3, which isn't in my particular distribution, but.
And the sync function is part of Ledger or is out of sync?
The what function?
Sync. Just now you say you sync your data across different computers.
Synchronizing the data has nothing to do with Ledger. It's just a plain text file that I commit into version control, and then I can pull that between. I use Bazaar, but that's kind of really irrelevant. You could use Git or Mercurial or
even rsync, which is
whatever you wanted. Yeah, you wouldn't even have to have it in version control. You could just copy it around as long as you made sure you didn't blast over your latest one with your old one.
Anything that will synchronize files will work with this.
How about your mobile? If you only have your mobile phone, you
could yeah, possibly. You could do it. It's yeah. Command line isn't terribly well geared towards mobile devices at the moment. A physical keyboard's really quite nice.
That's a good idea for an app, actually, as a tool for entering the expenses.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. But there is a web interface, so you could quite possibly set up the web interface and use that.
Okay,
you
those
things
after
so if I turn off Emacs highlighting on this, it's really just a plain text file that has. Yeah, yeah. But you get some help from the Emacs mode to complete things. So I still have to type in my cash receipts, but the ones that I can pull in from my bank account come in automatically. So. That's nice. Anything else? Might be
Did
time
you
for
investigate any other free software bookkeeping or accounting
packages? To be honest, I sort of cast my eye around occasionally. Like, yeah, so there are lots of tools that do something like this, and I look occasionally because I want something to prepare invoices in that's better than what I've got at the moment. And Ledger obviously doesn't do that. It doesn't print out PDF invoices. But there's lots of packages like...
Make it?
Yeah, totally, you could make it. There's lots of sort of businessware sort of packages like OpenERP that have sort of different sections for lots of different modules, but that requires learning a lot about the system and perhaps installing this large web application and getting the right module going and finding your way around it, and that was just a bit harder than, yeah. This is just really nice because I get full control over the transaction splits. It's a bit, you can do more with it than you can do with just one of those expense trackers like you get on your phone or your, yeah. There's a few, if you go apt cache search accounting or expenses or something like that, there's a mountain of these little expense trackers, and this is kind of like that, but on steroids a bit, I guess.
I'm just wondering, do you ever use it, do you just use it for yourself, or have you tried, streamlining somebody's business through this, or?
I at this stage I haven't actually pushed it on anyone else. it's enough to get my own accounting in order than try and convince someone else to get their accounting in order. Like, it's still, this stuff's still boring. It's not. But these tools sort of make it less boring, and yeah. And actually, it's quite interesting. Like, once you're up to date, it's actually kind of motivating to keep it up to date because you can see what activity is actually happening, and you go, yeah, I'm going well, or no, I'm not going well. All that sort of stuff.
Offer it as a service from Steam.
Yeah, maybe. Accounting for free software gigs. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ben.
My pleasure.
That's our meeting for this week. You'll correct me if I'm wrong, Ben S, but I think our next monthly meeting is on the 20th of August, the third Thursday of August. Does that conflict with the...
Yes, I will correct you. It's cancelled because we're running our workshop on the 22nd. So no monthly meeting.
No monthly meeting next month, okay.
And then Software Freedom Day the month after.
Okay. All right, so keep an eye on the mailing list for upcoming events.
And dinner tonight is at Classic Curry over on Elizabeth Street. If you'd like to join us.
Thank you, folks.